Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Beloved in Christ, today is the second Sunday of Easter, or the Sunday of Divine Mercy. The theme for this homily is Divine Mercy. Divine Mercy. Beloved, mercy could be defined as a kind attitude or a forgiving attitude towards somebody that you have the power to harm or the right to punish. Therefore, divine mercy is God's kind attitude or His forgiving attitude towards us who deserve His punishment due to our sins. Whereas sin creates a gap or a valley between us and God, His loving mercy bridges the gap. Thus, because of divine mercy, our other blessings of God can reach down to us from heaven, and our petitions can cross over to heaven. Beloved, with this introduction, I wish to speak about three aspects of divine mercy. The first one, divine mercy in the passion of Jesus. Secondly, divine mercy today. Thirdly, divine mercy is infectious. So the first one, divine mercy in the passion of Jesus. Beloved, according to Pope Francis, Jesus of Nazareth, by His words, His actions, and His entire person, reveals the mercy of God. In other words, divine mercy has become living and visible in Jesus of Nazareth. In this section, we only wish to focus on how, by His words and actions, during the difficult days of His agony and His passion, Jesus revealed divine mercy. Let's take the first instance. Jesus knew before the Last Supper that Judas would betray Him, that Peter would deny Him three times, that the rest of His disciples would desert Him. This notwithstanding, Jesus demonstrated divine mercy by overlooking such terrible offenses of those who were supposed to be His most trusted friends, and He dined with them and washed their feet. He demonstrated divine mercy. The second instance, because of divine mercy, Jesus will heal the servant of the high priest whose ear Peter had cut off. Remember, this servant had accompanied the enemies to arrest Jesus in the garden, and yet, because of divine mercy, Jesus healed him. Luke 22:50-51 of Luke's Gospel. Still in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus demonstrated that His mere words were more powerful than the troop of armed soldiers, for they fell to the ground when he spoke. Reference John 18, 3 to 6. John 18, 3 to 6. Hence, Jesus had the power to cripple those hands which were raised to slap him, to cripple those hands which were raised to scourge him, to cripple those hands which were raised to crown him with thorns. Indeed, he had the power to dislocate the hands which lifted the hammers and the nails to nail him. Yet in all this, Jesus chose to remain powerless because of divine mercy. Another instance. By the favor of divine mercy, Jesus would overlook the crimes of the thief who repented on the cross and offer him the eternal glory and joy of paradise. Luke 23, 40 to 43. Luke 23, 40 to 43. Again, because of divine mercy, Jesus, while in great pains on the cross, would seek the Father's forgiveness for those who betrayed, those who denied, those who deserted, those who falsely accused, those who mercilessly tortured, those who unjustly condemned, those who heartlessly crucified, and those who unfairly mocked him. He cried to the Father, saying, "Forgive them, they do not know what they are doing." Luke 23, 34. Beloved, it should be obvious that Jesus made available divine mercy during his agony and his passion. The abundance of such divine mercy will be more evident on the evening of the Lord's resurrection. Thus, instead of settling scores with those who had denied or deserted him, he would, according to today's gospel reasoning, pronounce the assuring words of forgiveness, of reconciliation. Quote, "Peace be with you," unquote. John 20, 21. And then he will repeat it. "Peace be with you." This leads us to the second aspect of divine mercy, namely divine mercy today. Beloved, when our Lord Jesus Christ was dared by the crowd to get down from the cross, he refused to do so. Why? Because his eyes of mercy saw things the crowd at Calvary did not see. That is, though his eyes of mercy were dimmed by extreme pains and covered with his blood, our Lord saw clearly into the past, into the present, and into the future. For the past, Jesus saw the souls of all the holy people who had died before him and who were eagerly waiting to be saved by his sacrifice. For the present, that is the moment as he was hanging on the cross of Calvary, he saw in the crowd at Calvary, and beyond that crowd, Jesus saw the millions across the world who needed the mercy of God. Then for the future, Jesus saw the hundreds of generations of people, including you and me, that will come after his resurrection and ascension, people who would need God's mercy and forgiveness. For all these people, our Lord humbly and mercifully decided to remain on the cross and to die on the cross. So even today, because of his great mercy, Jesus continues to wash the feet of those who betray, who deny, or who desert him. Indeed, Jesus knows that after washing not our mere feet, but our souls in baptism, we will sometimes deny him, or we will sometimes desert him, yet he washes away our sins. Again, even today, because of his great mercy, Jesus continues to feed those who betray, deny, or desert him. Jesus knows that after feeding us with his most precious body and blood in Holy Communion, sometimes we may betray, deny, or desert him, yet he continues to feed us because of his great mercy. Beloved, no sin is beyond the forgiveness of God. We should therefore not allow the gravity of our sin to overwhelm us. Thus, Pope Francis reassures us, and I quote, "God's mercy will always be greater than any sin." I repeat it, God's mercy will always be greater than any sin. The Pope continues, "And no one can place limits on the love of God who is ever ready to forgive." No one can place limits on the love of God who is ever ready to forgive, unquote. So, beloved, let us approach the God of mercy and compassion and confess our sins, however grievous they may be. The third and the last aspect, divine mercy is infectious. Like a virus, and in this case, a good virus, divine mercy is infectious. That is, those who experience God's mercy should spontaneously become carriers of God's mercy to others. Hence, according to today's gospel reading, after Jesus had forgiven the apostles, he entrusted them with the ministry of bringing others to experience God's mercy. Thus he told them, quote, "Receive the Holy Spirit, for those whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven," unquote. Receive the Holy Spirit, for those whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven. John 20, 22 and 23. John 20, 22 and 23. Therefore, beloved, as much as we enjoy God's kindness and forgiveness, in spite of our many and repeated sins, we should become ambassadors of God's mercy. Firstly, by telling family, friends, and others that God's kindness and forgiveness abound in spite of our sins. And secondly, by actually showing kindness and forgiveness to those who trespass against us, remembering the exhortation of Jesus, quote, "Be merciful just as your heavenly Father is merciful," unquote. Be merciful just as your heavenly Father is merciful. Luke 6, 36. To conclude, beloved, divine mercy is a bridge that connects God and man, opening our hearts to the hope of being loved by God despite our sinfulness. And the cross of Jesus Christ is a visible bridge of God's mercy. The cross of Jesus has become the visible bridge of God's mercy. So merciful is Jesus that even in the most painful hours of his life, he forgives our sins. In Jesus, we continue to experience divine mercy today. Such a favor should be infectious. Therefore, we must forgive others as well as lead them to experience the mercy of God. Amen.